Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Wednesday Conversation. I'm Mike Kresnick, and I'm here with Pastor Bob Thune and Chris Hellman of Corumdale Church. Every Wednesday, we sit down to talk about how the gospel of Jesus Christ connects to the questions and issues of everyday life. And today, we're talking about the Benedict option.
When we say the Benedict option, we're talking about a proposal of how Christians should relate to culture that's recently been getting a lot of traction among many Christian thinkers and conservative thinkers. It was first put forward by Rod Dreher, who's a columnist for the American Conservative. Rod is an interesting guy. He's a former Roman Catholic who left the Roman Catholic Church back during the sexual abuse scandal in the early 2000s. He's now an Eastern Orthodox Christian, a very, very thoughtful guy, a columnist, writer, thinker. And essentially what he's saying is the way Christians relate to culture needs to change in light of where the culture is. Chris, how would you summarize what he's saying about our relationship to culture?
So at its heart, the Benedict option is essentially saying we're not here to reclaim and save the culture. The ship has already sailed. We're post-Christian. So we're not trying to reclaim the culture for Jesus. But what we are doing is we're trying to preserve a faith tradition and a cultural tradition for our kids to pass along to younger generations, future generations. So we're creating institutions that do that. And in doing that, what we're not doing is retreating from culture. We still want to hold those things out for the culture to see. We still want to engage the culture. But the idea is rebuild and preserve.
As Dreher sort of gives the backstory of how he got here, and I think it is provocative because just like when I think about when we started Corum Deo, it was very much about engage the culture, be on mission, be where people are and in their lives and walking with Jesus and showing them what walking with Jesus looks like. And I think Dreher would say, yeah, that's not bad, but there's an institutional component that Christians haven't done well, which is how do we create institutions like schools and centers of learning that will preserve and pass on our heritage and our way of life and our faith to the next generation and the next generation after that. And you know, in Christendom, we felt like, well, it's just the culture that does that, you know, you have to read the great books of literature in school and you have to read the Bible and people have to be, you know, generally knowledgeable about the Judeo-Christian tradition. I think Dreher is saying those days no longer are with us. And so if we want to pass those things on, we're going to have to find ways to do it. Here's the backstory. Let me give you the reason I'm really fascinated by Rod Dreher is he built all this on the work of Alistair MacIntyre in the book After Virtue, which I've quoted on this podcast before and is one of the most profound books I've ever read. It was written in 1981. Alistair MacIntyre was a philosopher at Notre Dame. According to Dreher, when he wrote this book, he was not a Christian. But it's a history of moral philosophy and it's brilliant. And here's how Dreher would summarize the point that Alistair MacIntyre made that he's now building off of. He says, Alistair MacIntyre observed that we are at a place in Western culture like where Rome was when Rome fell apart. And, you know, you had this amazing Roman cultural heritage, all the beautiful art and literature that we have from the Greek and Roman cultures. That all came crashing down in about 425 or 430 AD. And at that time, Saint Benedict, instead of trying to do something with that broken culture, left the city and went to the woods to pray. And what he ended up founding was the Benedictine monastic order, a bunch of men committed to prayer. And Dreher says, over the next centuries, they kept the faith alive throughout Europe as Europe was covered in barbarian darkness. They laid the groundwork for the rebirth of Christian society in the former Western Roman Empire. So MacIntyre says it was Saint Benedict and his retreat from culture that actually saved Western civilization and allowed the possibility for it to be, for the Renaissance to happen centuries later in sort of a rediscovery of all these beautiful treasures of learning. The interesting thing about the point that he's making there is it's the same point that Ralph Winter would make. Ralph Winter is a missiologist who studies Christian mission, and he says the monasteries are why the gospel survived. He says if it wasn't for the monasteries in the Middle Ages, I'm not sure that the Christian church would exist today, because if you think about the corruption of the papacy at that time and the complete domination of the world by the Muslim armies at that time, Ralph Winter says that the monasteries are how the gospel got preserved. So it's interesting that a very Protestant evangelical missiologist and a very Roman Catholic, you know, academic philosopher are acknowledging the same thing about Benedict's role in Western society. And McIntyre closes his book by saying it's time for another Saint Benedict, essentially. And so this idea of the Benedict option is Dreher's way of saying, yeah, yeah, we have to take McIntyre seriously now. How are we going to do this? And so as people have heard Dreher say this, they've said, are you saying we should retreat from culture? Are you saying sort of go underground and develop some sort of alternative subculture? What exactly are you talking about, Rod Dreher? So the idea that he's putting forward is an interesting idea. I think people are having a hard time understanding, well, what exactly are you talking about?
Yeah, that's been my question as I've heard you guys talk about it here at the office, is how is this not a new fundamentalism? Because all I've seen from fundamentalism is Christians got used to sticking their head in the sand, and now we have a bunch of angsty, cynical millennials who, you know, don't like fundamentalism. They see that as bad, and they see culture as good and want to engage that somehow. And so how is this Benedict option different than that?
Yeah, I would say a couple things. One, Rod Dreher makes it clear, and if you read a lot of his articles where he talks about the Benedict option, he's saying, I'm still figuring out what this looks like. And so I think, and he's even inviting engagement. He's inviting brainstorming. He gets excited about people thinking through the application of this. And so very much this is still kind of in principle form, kind of in idea generating form. And so this is something that is in process. And so I think as we talk about this, I think that's an important point. I think the second thing is with fundamentalism has sort of at its core, at its ethos, this reactionary, combative sense of the culture is wicked, it's evil. And so I'm going to speak what they would say, I'm speaking prophetically against that, but there is this kind of hostility, and such is evil, TV's evil, media's evil, Hollywood's evil, politics are evil, and there's almost kind of this anger about it. And so the focus, the energy seems to be on railing against culture, and then in return, kind of keeping all that stuff out. And we put up the walls with defensive posture, and so we'll build our kind of our city, wall out all the bad stuff, and then we'll stand on top of the wall and scream at all the pagans down below.
What's the M. Night Shyamalan movie? Is it The Village?
The Village, sort of pictures
that in a really interesting way.
Yeah. What the Benedict option is calling for is not retreat in that way. It's a focus and an energy on building. And so we're not going to look at the culture over there and rail at them and try to keep everything out. It's we're going to create institutions that cultivate the faith, cultivate virtue, cultivate the Western traditions that have led to flourishing. And we're going to show the world the beauty of that. And so the energy is turned more positively towards what can we build? What can we cultivate? How are we passing on? How are we discipling our kids? And so I think in many ways, it's a posture of positive building rather than defensive railing.
Let me use an analogy, Mike. You were homeschooled. My kids are being homeschooled. You and I both know there are two basic kinds of homeschoolers. One kind is the kind that we're going to keep our kids unstained by the world, and therefore our reason for homeschooling is essentially reactive and protective. Another kind of homeschooling is we actually want to pass on a heritage and a lineage and a model of education to our kids, and so it's not as much reactive and protective as much as it is just discipleship and preparation and formation. We can caricature those two kinds of families in the homeschool world, but I think that's essentially what Dreher's getting at, is that it, to what you said, Chris, it's not a withdrawal, it's not a posture of defensiveness, but rather it's a posture of a different kind of engagement, an engagement that says there's a need for us to think differently. In the blog post that I wrote on bobthune.com about the Benedict option, I compared what I think Rod Dreher is saying to what I think the Catholics and the Jews have done well. In every city, especially ours, right? So there's a strong Catholic population in our city. There's a strong Jewish population in our city. And here's what you see: the Jewish Community Center, Allegiant Health, right? CHI, Catholic Charities. You see what the Jewish and Catholic communities have done well is they've built institutions that both preserve a cultural heritage and a faith heritage, and that also bless the city. But they bless the city from a place of distinctness. So, like, I live not far from the Jewish Community Center, and the Jewish Community Center is a great place to play basketball and work out and do all kinds of things, but it's self-consciously Jewish, you know? And when we adopted our daughter from China, we used Jewish Family Services because they're a great family services organization. They are self-consciously Jewish, coming from a Judeo-Christian heritage, and how they go about that. And so that's what I think Dreher is saying, is that for a long time, Protestant evangelicals have sort of just, because of the influence of Christendom, it's sort of like the cultural structures of society have been sort of vaguely Protestant. And so we just haven't built that same stuff. Now, I think, you know, there is Methodist Hospital, for instance, and so sometimes we have. But I hear him saying that it's time for Christians to think about, if we want to pass on a heritage and a tradition to our kids, you know, we're going to have to build institutions that do that. And we're going to have to think about, how do we create an opportunity to both preserve our heritage and also invite people into it in winsome ways. And I do think the Catholics and Jewish communities have done that really well.
What it sounds like you guys are describing is just a more intentional, a broader vision of discipleship. Because if you're, say, just the parents and kids, for example, you can't just take your kids to church and expect them to be Christians. Like, you have to create a bigger context in the family with rhythms and practices and traditions to help them be formed in Christ. Not just, well, we're a Christian family, and so we expect that this thing's going to go on and on and on. We have to actually be intentional creating things for our family, for them to have when we're gone as parents. Is that kind of what you guys are saying?
It's interesting. I have an interview with Rod Dreher pulled up here where people are asking him some questions. And he says, I'm talking about staying involved in the outside world, but also doing a strategic retreat, doing things like turning off the television, backing away from the culture. Essentially what he's saying is, yeah, that we need to be more intentional in how we think about discipleship. That's not just, hey, as long as taking my kids to church, they're going to grow up to be disciples. In fact, he's lamenting the fact that most of Christianity in America is actually moralistic therapeutic deism. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not robust Christian discipleship. It's sort of a vague notion of God helps those who help themselves. And so, yeah, he's very much saying, if what we want is a robust Christianity, we're going to have to figure out how to build institutions that pass that on, because the churches aren't doing it and many families aren't doing it. Mm-hmm. Some churches are doing it, and I think healthy ones are. Mm-hmm. But I think he's arguing for something even broader. Mm. Here's the phrase. I read this phrase from Alistair McIntyre one time, Mike, and I think it provoked you on the podcast. McIntyre, as he describes sort of the place where Western culture is, says that if my account of our moral condition is correct, we ought to conclude that for some time now we have reached a turning point. What matters at this stage is the construction of local forms of community within which civility and the intellectual and moral life can be sustained through the new dark ages which are already upon us. This time, however, the barbarians are not waiting beyond the frontiers. They have already been governing us for quite some time. And it is our lack of consciousness of this that constitutes part of our predicament. And, you know, one of the things I like about Rod Dreher is he tends to be a very provocative, black and white kind of a writer. And he's saying some of these same things. He's saying, look, we live surrounded by barbarians. The average American lives life driven by their passions, cultivated, you know, driven by feeling and emotion, with no sense of restraint or obligation beyond satisfying their immediate needs. That's the world we live in. Yeah. And so if we want our kids to grow up differently than that, it's not going to do just to send them down the street to hang out with the kids who, you know, are exactly being raised in that kind of environment. But we're going to have to get intentional about what our discipleship looks like and about building institutions and forms of cultural transmission that are going to create a robust and healthy future, you know, church and future Christianity. So it's real interesting. Seems like it hasn't been as well received as Dreher maybe would have wished.
I
think this ties too to some of what we talked about a few weeks ago on the podcast with the stage two exile. This assumes a different posture towards culture and assumes a different relationship to how the culture views the church. I mean, we've moved beyond the church being seen as just kind of irrelevant, kind of, you know, backward thinking, kind of old fashioned. And this assumes a culture that is outright straight up hostile. And I think that that is an important piece for people who may wrestle with this, who may kind of see this as a fundamentalism, who may be inclined to maybe adopt some of those older ways of thinking, and really are good to think missionally in that way. But ask yourself, are you dealing with the same type of culture that you're assuming? Is all that you're dealing with is irrelevance, or if it's outright hostile, if this thing is broken beyond repair, if we really are in a post-Christian society, then what are you trying to save? I mean, is that the answer? Or is it this idea that we need to think about how to preserve, pass on, and rebuild?
All right, now I'm going to go more Alistair McIntyre on you because you've provoked me. One of the most interesting things McIntyre says in After Virtue is that virtue is embedded in practices. He makes a big deal of the importance of practices and how formation and virtue is embedded in practices. It's a lot of the same things that James K. Smith has said more recently. And so what I think Dreher is talking about is we're living in a culture where the practices of the culture don't naturally build virtue and character and decency and a moral conscience. And so we need to create more ways where our community and our children and the people that we're discipling can be embedded in practices that will form them correctly. And so even his little quip about, you know, withdrawing from TV, if you think about how that watching television is for many Americans just a practice, it's just, I know people that just the television is never off in their house. It's just like on in the background all the time. What that creates then, that practice is formative, right? It's teaching me a certain understanding of entertainment, a certain understanding of what to do with my free time, a certain way of thinking. It's shaping my mind in certain ways. And so I like a guy like Dreher because I think that we've grown up with enough specter of fundamentalism. It's like, oh, if you think I should shut off the TV, you're backwards fundamentalist, and we have to engage the culture and watch movies and talk about them and how they mirror the story of creation and fall redemption, right? I'm not saying that's necessarily bad, but I am saying that Dreher is going deeper and saying that the practice of, for instance, television watching shapes us in certain ways, shapes our kids in certain ways. Yeah. So let's talk about the practice, and let's talk about can we have an honest conversation about creating a Christian community where there are limits and boundaries on that, you know, and not for the sake of, oh, we got to keep the evil world out, but for the sake of we want to form different things. And just this is a conversation very few people are having at the level that I think Dreher is putting thought into it and that McIntyre did as well. And it just seems really important to me that at this cultural moment, Christians start thinking more deeply about these things.
Mm-hmm. And to add to that, the importance of communal practices. I think that's another piece of this is he's calling, it's not just, you know, individual Christians shut off the TV or stop listening to, you know, Lady Gaga or whatever. It's, are we creating institutions? Are we creating communal structures? So these habits that are formed in community, and we can't escape that. And so I think that's another really important piece here is he's thinking community. He's thinking in the terms that as the church, man, this is it, right? I mean, discipleship happens in community. We're formed in community. And so I think we need to think in those categories as he's calling us to do. And so that's what I really appreciated as well is how institutions and communal structures shape us and form us and how important it is that we're connected to that.
So to kind of tie a bow on this, I think one aspect of this podcast is just getting people into the conversation. And so if you're kind of a person who likes to read on the internet, if you go search Rod Dreher Benedict Option, you'll find a lot of very thoughtful articles, interviews, people having back and forth with this idea. It's something we probably just need to think about a little bit. And secondly, I think the goal of this podcast is to hopefully spur some of the people in our listening audience that have more institution building kinds of gifts, the kinds of people who would think about what would it look like to cultivate that kind of community of practice. Is that a, a sports team? Is that a school? Is that a like an after school program? Are there things we could be building in the city that aren't just how do we reach people with the gospel, but that are how do we build something distinctly Christian and then serve others from that platform? And that's, in my mind, that's where I think there's brilliance here, because I think my frustration with fundamentalism, I'm going to use probably a lame example, but my kids played in a Christian basketball league for a while, and what made it Christian was that they presented the gospel at halftime, right? Mm-hmm. But the, you know,
Jesus juke.
Yeah, it was held at a church, and you know, they the people who led it were Christians, but functionally it was a ruse for let's get non-Christian kids in here so we can share the gospel with them at halftime. Now, I'm not opposed to sharing the gospel with kids at halftime, but how different is that from, for instance, a sports league in a needy part of the city run by some Christian dads and some Christian moms and some Christian kids that are trying to robustly say, how does the gospel inform our practice of competition? And how can we invite the neighborhood to enjoy that and experience that in ways that are going to provide opportunities to share the gospel, but that aren't sort of the simplistic, let's just get kids in here and preach the gospel to them and then we've done our job. Mm-hmm. But that are thinking more robustly about the preservation of a kind of community and the passing on of a kind of a way of life. And I really do think that for our theological disagreements with them, the Catholics have sometimes been more thoughtful than we have on these issues. And there's an important invitation, I think, that Dreher's laying down for us here to say, can we as evangelicals think better about this and work better after this and create, be culture builders, be institution builders, be culture makers, and not just culture changers or culture fighters. Mm-hmm. So all that to say, read some Rod Dreher, and we're hoping to try to get him to Omaha if we can. So we'll take some stabs at that and see if we can get a more robust and fruitful conversation with the man himself in months to come.
If you're a Christian or church leader in another context, we thank you for listening in. And if you want to engage on this topic more, if you have ideas, just by listening to us talk, please get in touch with us somehow. We'd love to talk with you. And we pray that the things that we've talked about today will be helpful to you as you minister in your own context. Please join us next week by listening in, by subscribing, by sharing links with your friends and letting them know that this podcast exists. And we'll talk to you again next week on the Wednesday Conversation.